Well, we have come to this point where in Proverbs, this is now, I think, the 21st time in Proverbs we've only made it through chapter 14. And I kind of was reminded as I thought of where we've come and where we are, I kind of feel like a story might be in appropriate. Some of you remember the Southern humorist Jerry Clower, who used to tell stories, and maybe you remember this one. Remember the story about when they went raccoon hunting? And except they had a peculiar way of doing it. They would send the dogs out to tree and have a raccoon treed up in the tree, and they wouldn't take any rifles with them to shoot the animal out, the game out. They would send someone up the tree with a sharp stick to poke the animal and let it fall out. And the idea was to give the raccoon a sporting chance. He had the option of falling down among 10 dogs, and if he whipped all those dogs, he could just walk off. That was his option. And as the story goes, they treed this raccoon and sent the guy up the tree and with a sharp stick, and he gets his sharp stick and pokes it, except it wasn't a raccoon, it was a wildcat. And suddenly the tree is just alive with growls and snarls and fighting, and the whole tree is shaking, and it's just going wild, and the dogs were just going wild. Finally, the guy in the tree remembers that they didn't have any rifles, but one of the fellows in the hunting party always carried a pistol in case they ran into a rattlesnake. He started yelling, "Would you shoot this thing? Shoot this thing!" And they're pulling the dogs back, and finally someone yells up the tree, "So we can't shoot up there, we might hit you." And the tree's going wild, and they're fighting each other, and finally he just yells down, "Just shoot up in here amongst us. One of us has to have some relief." So I don't know if you need relief or I need relief, but we are going to take a break from Proverbs after these weeks together and do a few other things here in the next few weeks. Have a couple weeks where we're doing some special services on Sunday night. But as we come to this point, I really appreciated our Bible teacher sharing a favorite proverb last time. We're going to continue that. So you can hear some other voices about how portions of this catalog of wisdom, and we've entitled this series How Life Works, because it does deal with how life works. It just details the issues of life, and then learning how we can unlock that treasure chest and how we can reach into that catalog of wisdom and pull out some truth that could help us in particular issues of life. And I kind of invited all that wanted to participate of our Bible study leaders or our Bible fellowship leaders. And Josh, will you come first? Josh is going to go first. And I don't know exactly what proverb. If they all have the same proverb, that's okay too. But you get to go first, so it doesn't bother you, does it? You can go right there if you like. But Josh, along with Troy Thornton, leads one of our couples groups. It meets at 9:30. And if you're a couple looking for a group, this is a good one to be a part of. And Josh, please share.
The easy part is when he asks the Bible teachers to come up here and say something. That's the easy part. The hard part is to find one thing out of the catalog of wisdom to call our favorite. You know, that's the difficult part. I've chosen this evening to talk about Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 21. I read mostly from the English Standard Version. I was kind of surprised that the New King James says this a little differently, but I think that's okay. Proverbs 27:21 says, "The crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is tested by his praise." And the New King James says, "A man is valued by his praise." When you look through the Bible, we see a lot of times where there's talk about testing. You know, the book of Job talks about testing. James chapter 1 talks about testing. And frequently even this idea of the crucible and the furnace and the burning of the chaff and the separation of the chaff from the wheat, that's a common theme. And it always kind of has the idea of when you're tested, you'll come out stronger. This one here is just a little bit different. Instead of talking about how difficulty causes growth, this talks about, I think, purity and purity of heart. And when you say that the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, but a man is tested by his praise, one way of looking at this is to find out what a person is really like. Find out how he handles the good things. Find out how he handles success. And a lot of times when you think of, I think of sports analogies a lot. And in football, a lot of times coaches, especially starting young, will teach players, when you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before. And we watch, you know, players like Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, and several of the players on the Mountaineer team this year were that way. You know, you really respect these guys who go in there and score the touchdown, make the big play, and they act like they've been there before. You just recognize that there's a better class of individual there. The other side are the people who showboat, who carry a Sharpie in their sock, and they, you know, they sign autographs and all those things. And there's something within us that just says that's not really the same class of person, the same character of person. And I think that that is one thing to gain from this verse, is just that idea. As we find ourselves, and churches are really good about praising people. You know, you, one time I heard Pastor Hunt's, after one of the children had done some music, special music, say that church is a great place because everybody wants you to do well. And that's right. And we are very good, I think, at raising people up and rewarding them with praise and applause. But when one thinks of what really is going on inside, this is a test of purity. This morning in our Bible study, Troy Thornton was teaching, and he's doing a series on the Beatitudes. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it talks about purity of heart. And I think that that's the same principle that's listed, that's dealt with in this particular verse. But anyway, one more nugget from the Catalog of Wisdom.
Thank you, Josh. I should have said Troy works with the youth on Sunday night, so he's out in the modular with our teens tonight. Joe Martin, would you come? Joe teaches our Sunday evening Bible fellowship, which meets at 5 o'clock on Sunday evenings. For those of you that aren't early risers, or you just can't do too much on Sunday morning, we give you a Sunday evening option and a great opportunity to study. Partners with Richard Reif in that group, and they meet down A101. A great group. So Joe, share with us.
Hi, Dan. He said a minute to a minute and a half to share a proverb. If the men would come now with a hook, it would be a Proverbs 11:29. Troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. The fool shall become servant to the wise-hearted. This proverb is obviously written concerning family. It struck me recently, the gravity of all of this. It's not just a family, but it's also, it's written to, I believe, people that are responsible for family, head of family. Being a husband, being a father, it impacted me tremendously. And I amuse myself sometimes when I read the New Testament and when I compare it with old, when I think of the situations family-wise all through the Scriptures, I caught myself wondering, why did God not have James Dobson in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? They had better than that. They had God Himself, Counselor. Family has not just become important to God. It has always been important to God. When I read this Scripture, first of all, it's bad news. Because from Adam on, we've all been fallen men and husbands and fathers. And he who troubleth his house will inherit the wind. That's nothing. And the fool shall become servant to the wise-hearted. Through God's grace and mercy, including all of us in sin, under sin, and we confess ourselves as failures, God is a God of all hope. And many of us, if not all of us, have done something to trouble our family, which God has given us as a physical picture of a future open-ended. The reason for the anxiety over the barren womb or the death of an only son. God promises redemption for the failure. And through His Son, we have that. For those of us, maybe you, that find yourself as a failure, the God of all hope says that we can be restored and that we have hope and that He is able to forgive us through the blood of His Son. a minute or a minute and a half. I've enjoyed your attention. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Susan Beeler has been teaching one of our ladies' Bible studies for a long time, actually longer than I have been here. And Susan, come and share. She just started a new Bible study on this last Tuesday. If you ladies are looking for a great opportunity, I think you would still let them in the door, wouldn't you, Susan?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Share with us.
Well, I chose Proverbs 4:23. In the NIV, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The Bible has a lot to say about the heart. In Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the Bible, the heart is spoken of as our innermost being. It's our intellect, it's our emotions, and our will. It's who we are. In this chapter in Proverbs, the father is speaking to his sons, and he's telling them to make guarding their heart their top priority. And that applies to us as well. If something needs to be guarded, that means it's in danger, and our hearts are in danger. It's important for us to watch over and protect our hearts, our thoughts, our emotions, our choices that we make, because out of them, that determines how we're going to live. The last phrase in this proverb says, the heart is the wellspring of life. A wellspring is the source of a stream or a spring, or it's the source of abundant supply. If the source of a spring is not diligently watched over, the spring can become polluted with dead things and debris and chemicals. It could be blocked and become stagnant, or it can be diverted from its original path. If we don't guard our heart, our thoughts and emotions and the choices that we make, then our lives are going to become polluted with sin, and we're going to go in the wrong direction. But on the other hand, if we guard our heart, our innermost being, if we put God first, if we love Him with all our heart, if we allow the Holy Spirit to control our thoughts and our emotions and the choices that we make, then our lives are going to follow the path that God's prepared for us. It's going to be like a clear and pure flowing spring, and we're going to have the abundant life that God wants us to have.
Thank you, Susan. Appreciate that. God has gifted us with a good team, and I really enjoy knowing that week after week, even when I'm not in every room or every classroom or every setting or every Bible study, that good things are going on, and we have the opportunity to enjoy that. Next, we're going to hear from John. John, if you want to come. John Haskell leads one of our couples groups that meets at 9:30. Matt Walker, I believe, was supposed to do it. He's lost in the snow somewhere, I think, right? Somewhere. So John is going to share a proverb with us.
I have often gotten in trouble in my life for jumping without knowing all of the details. And if you've spent any time with my parents, you're likely to hear one of about three stories. That's usually why I have them come on a weekday and not over the weekend. But one of the stories that you're likely to hear is from my childhood. I was about 5 or 6 years old and coming out of someone's house, and there was a nice manicured hedge out front, about 1.5, 2 feet tall. And of course, adventurous kid, what's he going to do? He's going to try to run and jump that, right? Well, I ran across the yard and jumped that hedge and cleared it just fine. And when I got to the top of it, realized that that little 2-foot hedge was on top of about a 6-foot wall. And needless to say, my fall was a little bit further than I anticipated. You're laughing now for one of two reasons. You're either thinking that I haven't really changed that much, or you know my son, Ethan, and you're thinking I'm getting it all back in spades, right? He's very much the same way. I have a predisposition for action, I guess you'd say. And maybe that explains why one of my favorite proverbs, I like a lot of proverbs. A lot of proverbs deal with work and hard work. But Proverbs 14:23 says that work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. And that's not just talking about financial working for money and making more money. It's hard work with ministry, with relationships, in your own spiritual life, your own spiritual disciplines. It brings profit. And I was thinking today, as I was thinking about this proverb, it's a timely illustration, isn't it? We've done a lot of talking, we've done a lot of planning over the last couple of years, and now it's time to get to work. And there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of work to be done, a lot of places to plug in. And I would like to encourage you to do that now as we begin to rise up to build and begin our new campaign. This is a practical way for us to get involved in the work. Mere talk leads to poverty.
Thank you, John. Evelyn, would you come? Evelyn Smith has been one of our ladies Bible teachers for a long time. She's what should we say? You're not on active duty right now, or I don't use the retired word, but not currently teaching a group, but she's going to share. We've asked her to share one of her favorite proverbs.
Mine is 1 minute and 15 seconds. For the first time in my life, I finally understand the book of Proverbs, a book that was written by King Solomon, whom a lot of people say was the wisest man who ever lived. The book of Proverbs is no longer a mystery to me because Pastor Wagoner gave me the key to understanding it when he said that, and I quote, "Proverbs is not a book of promises. It's a how-to book on how life works." Now, I've heard the book of Proverbs taught often in my lifetime. I've read many books on Proverbs. I've even taught the book myself, but I never really understood it until I was given the key that in this series of sermons. And I thank God for this new insight because I love the book of Proverbs now. Proverbs describes ordinary life, what actually happens in ordinary life, daily life, and that there are consequences for our actions. It's a book of wisdom that enables me to discern the difference between right and wrong. And that's very easy for me to comprehend. My favorite verse in Proverbs is chapter 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
Thank you, Evelyn. Appreciate that. Nick Munoz is going to come. Nick is leads a Bible study group, Bible fellowship group at 8:30 down in A101, and I'm sure that you would welcome anyone to come and be a part of that. Nick also serves one of our elders, and for the last year has served as the chairman of our elders. Nick, share with us a proverb.
Thank you, Pastor. When Pastor Wagoner emailed me several weeks ago about possibly speaking about a favorite proverb, I thought, gee, I have so many, I didn't know where to start. And I also considered the fact that probably many of us have proverbs that are similar favorites. My fear tonight, one of them, was that I would come here and we'd all be speaking about the same proverb. I was thinking, Evelyn, about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, incidentally, but I knew someone would pick it, so I chose another one. And then lastly, so I've already mentioned two problems. I've been speaking for 25 seconds, and I've mentioned two problems. I have a lot of favorites, and I didn't want to pick one that everybody else picked. And then the third problem is that Jesse asked us to speak for a minute to a minute and a half, and anybody that knows me, it takes me a minute and a half just to say hello. So I'm gonna speak in New York shorthand right now and get through my little thing on Proverbs 9:10. I scanned the book for a favorite, and like I said, I just have tons of favorites throughout the book. I mean, I could find a favorite every couple of verses in every chapter of Proverbs. But I thought I'd speak very briefly tonight on Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I like to read from the book of Proverbs daily. It's a habit I picked up years ago. As Pastor Spradling discipled me, I try to read a proverb every day. And Jesse mentioned in his series on Proverbs, that's a good thing to do, to read through. And like Evelyn referred to, it is a great explanation to me about how life works. It's not all happy. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes things happen that we don't like, maybe as a result of our actions. But it's a great how-to book about life. I thought in thinking about this proverb, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, might be wise to try to explain what is the fear of the Lord, because A lot of people think that God is some, I'm afraid of God. And I never really thought of it that way. I think that it's quite obvious the fear of the Lord is more of a position of respect or submission of our will to His will for us. One of my concerns for the church, not this church, the church in America today, the church, being a true follower of the Lord, in my opinion, doesn't come real easily. It's not something that comes without effort. We have to give some practice to how we fear the Lord. In today's instant society, we want to have everything right now. Can you remember when we didn't use computers? My business was revolutionized by the computer. And when we first got computers, I was amazed at how much they could do, how fast they could do it. And now I get aggravated waiting 5 or 10 seconds for it to come up and give me what I'm looking for in a computer. We just want everything right now, immediately. And we want results now and without taking much time to acquire it. But the Bible paints a different picture to our lives. With that in mind, I'm going to sneak in a few extra verses. I'm cheating. I'm going to switch back a few chapters to Proverbs 2. And I'm going to read you just a few more verses that talk about the fear of the Lord and probably will give us a better handle on how we can live in fear of the Lord correctly. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick. I was going to have the last word. And I was going to read the first few verses of Proverbs chapter 2. So it's one of the few times in my life you'll find me speechless. But nonetheless, that is a great truth. I just want to add a couple verses that you didn't read in chapter 2. You stopped at verse 5, I believe. But it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom," verse 6, "from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He is the source of wisdom." And the great thing that you and I have, we have access, not secondhand or not filtered or not, you know, masked or any of that, but we have direct access to the original source of wisdom that God has revealed for us to live this life. Let's have just a word of prayer and thank Him for His word tonight, and then Tim's going to come and lead us in a song. That song will be our benediction. When we're done singing, we'll be dismissed, and we're going to ask the Halls to make their way out during the song to their display table so we can greet them after service tonight. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that You are the source of all wisdom, and Lord, You've made it available for us. Thank You, Lord, for these that have shared tonight and for the truth shared. Lord, help us to be people that seek after Your wisdom and walk in Your truth. Help us, Lord, just to cling tightly to You, to fear You and to respect You and to obey You. And Lord, to see all the benefits that You promise. And Lord, that we can avoid all of the burdens that comes inevitably upon us when we go a different way and take a different path. Just pray that You'll bless each one for their efforts to be here tonight. Thank You for the special time we've had in Jesus' name.